It's this commission's particular job to take this particular bill or these particular ideas around to the older Alaskans here in the state of Alaska and get their input into this deal. I think that the bill that we passed, Senator, that stated we would look at the annuity program or other programs.
Needs-based one was once.
And I don't think, if in fact that the people in the state of Alaska has passed the 120-day law for us to look at, I think the legislature should just have our ideas that is coming from the older Alaskan and this commission, Commissioner, Mr. Governor. But I think that we should have the public hearings.
You constantly amaze me, Al. You keep talking about, I don't know where you're coming from. Last year, you were heartily in favor. In fact, you endorsed the plan to do away with the longevity bonus entirely.
Staircase. I was in favor of staircase.
That's eliminating it, right?
Oh,
with nothing to take its place. So
that is
where
correct.
Are you coming from now?
But at least we're going to get some input from the public.
I think you're opposed to the idea of the longevity bonus. That's what I think.
No, I'm not opposed to the longevity bonus.
I think so.
Well, again, let's not have a debate on the committee, but Al, you did say one thing. You said that one thing that people ought to have a choice, to either continue to receive a dividend or an annuity. It seems to me that this proposal provides them with precisely that choice.
Except the choice of the boxes should be
reversed.
That's all I'm saying, reversed.
And ironically, I think one of the reasons for the approach taken in the bill was to protect the very people that you're concerned about. The fear being that they won't understand the greater benefit of an annuity share, particularly in the early years, and therefore would automatically opt for the cash, whenas they could achieve a great deal more in financial return by accepting that annuity share. And this way, at least causes them to make a calculated decision based on, hopefully, greater input than they'd have otherwise.
Yeah.
I think, but what you're doing, you may be doing them a greater disfavor
than
the other way around.
Some of the people in some areas do not understand that, and they know they would be getting their monthly checks. If you had it reversed, some of them wouldn't check it off and say they wanted the cash. That's what I'm concerned about, Governor.
I don't know. Again, I would refer to legal counsel whether or not, you know, that's certainly an issue that I think appropriate for them, public potential recipients, to comment on, whether they'd rather have that approach or the other. I'm not sure it materially changes things, but Deborah, does it do anything in the way of violence to some of the other considerations?
The only reason that we changed it, frankly, is on the advice of the Morrison Forrester folks that for the IRS, even though it's a form over substance kind of a thing, that it seems to be a form over substance that the IRS pays attention to.
Yes. We believe and we understand from discussions with the IRS that it's not just to them a matter of form, that it's a matter of importance to them. And the significance of it is if you do not elect cash, if we change back to the way or keep the program the way it is now, somebody that elects an annuity may be subject to tax even though they're not getting a payment this year. And we're trying to avoid that result. And that's why the election form is being changed to a cash opting out as opposed to an annuity opting out.
Getting back to the Kidder Peabody proposal, if we could make that work with the as a interest-free loan or a deferred loan, then we wouldn't have to worry about anything. You'd still get your permanent fund dividends and everything else, wouldn't you? Permanent fund doesn't go the dividends isn't a requirement to pay them back as part of Kidder Peabody. So actually, that would be the one. If you wanted to put your muscle behind one, I would think of the Kidder Peabody. If it's workable and if it's tax agreeable, that way you're getting the longevity bonus with no pull down from the state, from the state general fund, and your recipients are also getting the permanent fund dividends at the same time.
You're absolutely correct. It meets some of his expressed concerns.
Right.
I would think better, but there
I mean,
are other...
looking at your problem, Al, I think that would be maybe the answer.
Well, I'm just going to hand my suggestions, and I hope that
sure.
We can work them out with this.
Bob? As I understand the Peabody proposal, is that they will buy an insurance policy of one kind or another, I'm not according to the terminology, at the same time that you apply for a longevity bonus at age 65.
Right.
All right? Now then, it might be possible that you would also put your your permanent fund dividend check in that same category as being deferred. You might add it on to the return to the state.
To sweeten your annuity, in other words.
I get to spend the longevity bonus.
But that's
and when I no longer need it, I'm not worried about it.
But you have the opportunity. I mean, you can do that or not. I mean, it isn't a mandatory deal.
No. I'm talking about it being linked with the longevity bonus tax-wise. To me, all they'd have to do would be to cover me for the permanent fund distribution checks that I'm going to reach during my expected life.
Well, if the $300 puts you in a higher income tax bracket, I don't know.
No, I'm trying to avoid that.
Yeah, but I mean, if it doesn't, I don't
know. Well, maybe, Jim, you'd like to address that. We discussed that a little bit before.
I believe what Commissioner Kallenbach was speaking about was the idea of having the permanent fund dividends, like the longevity bonus payments discussed by Keeter Peabody, treated as loans to Alaskans.
That's right.
And I don't want to discuss that in too great a depth, but I do think that is a significant tax issue as to whether that loan would be recognized as a loan by the Internal Revenue Service or the Social Security Administration. It depends upon the terms of it. As I understand, the anticipated terms is repayment would be due upon death from the proceeds of an insurance policy which would be purchased. And before you'd want to go into that, you'd want to make sure that it would be recognized as a non-taxable loan as opposed to taxable income.
That's right.
Al, I realize you were not able to make the last meeting because of other commitments, but the directive to the Legal and Tax Council was to come up with a proposal which met clearly, as best as possible, clearly the legal considerations, the tax considerations, and also was something that was within the realm of possibility financially. And while I can recognize people not liking certain elements for one thing or other, you start playing around. You go into particularly public hearings, and I don't know how you ever bring the public along to the point where they'll understand the rationale for perhaps taking a position in the bill that may seem unusual, like this one you mentioned before. How come you're opting for, you get an annuity unless you offer a cash dividend? We want it the other way around. Well, how do the benefits fall out collectively to the people of the state of Alaska by making that reversal if you do bad things from the tax point of view? That's a terribly difficult thing. I think the bill, that at least the directive given the group that worked on this bill, met to the best degree possible the legal, the tax, and the financial considerations. Now, there are things politically that may not be palatable and may be objectionable, but I think they did a commendable job in at least addressing those issues and giving us something to work from. But to the degree that we can accommodate, maybe the Keeter Peabody thing would do it better, but there are really some unanswered questions there before we're ready to make that recommendation. Is why it seems to me that maybe what we're going to end up with is something that says, look, legislature, if you're concerned primarily about tax, legalistic, and you want to contain the cost of this thing, here is an approach which would do it. On the other hand, here's another approach that meets these other concerns, and we can't make that decision. I know where I might prefer to come from, and we'll have to make a recommendation, but I still say that you're going to have a lot of legislative deliberation and public comment and input demanded by the legislature that we can't fulfill. But
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think, and I hope you agree with me, Alan, that we can do on one end, we can get two or three plans, as many as we can. And we only have four legislators here. All right. I don't propose to be able to talk for anybody but myself or maybe one other person that might be leaning that way or something. And I don't think none of us can, you know. And so if we give that and give these proposals into the legislature and then let the committees that handle them go ahead and let them get into it the same way that we can be the instructors or we can be the information people as well as we can. Just for us to work in a vacuum, we can't do it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
What is the time frame as far as putting something together for... Are you going to have December and January meetings?
Well, yes, we have, I think, until actually February, theoretically. I was hoping we'd have something in December. That's what I really wanted to target for, a firm proposal for the legislature by then.
I hope we aren't going to be short-sighted and just take one or maybe two. I think that we should take the annuity. I think we should take the Kidder Peabody plan and work all these up, because if we don't do it, somebody else is going
to
do it.
Well, that's what, Senator, that's what occurs to me, the more I've heard of these things, that we're likely to end up with exactly what you're talking about, clear-cut Kidder Peabody approach,
and
the approach incorporated in your bill, and perhaps a melding of
a melding or a composite of something.
Yeah, but
two or three ideas, right?
So, I guess where we go from here, I would ask everybody on the committee to take home. I know many of us have not had a chance to really digest the information provided in this particular draft bill or the cover letters and so forth. And again, I want to make it clear to members of the press here that this is simply working copies. We're not by any means adopting this as the committee's proposal, and making and recommendations for changes, alterations, or comments during the interim on that particular measure. And during the interim, we also try to get something gelled more firmly on the Kidder Peabody approach. And
could you direct or does the committee want to direct Deborah and John Tillinghast to try to draw up something on the Kidder Peabody proposal?
I think that would be appropriate. We have taken action to retain John's services. And
well, working
I think,
document with you guys in some way that we could...
We have also surfaced the need for additional actuarial information that I hope by the next meeting, and I suspect it may have to be quicker than 30 days away. I don't know how much time it's going to take you folks to do this. Maybe a month would not be too long a period of time, but shake out some of these actuarial questions we got to seek resolution of, and perhaps defer any retention or consideration of acquiring additional actuarial help from somebody outside of this group that was mentioned as already in the employ of what Kidder Peabody. Give us some recommendations next time around, and the best of your ability, an approach that does embody the Kidder Peabody thing, and with the questions of the same sort of treatment you gave the Ray proposal this time. Do you suppose that, what would be an appropriate meeting date by which we might have some of that information for further review? We do have, theoretically, December or January, but you know what things happen when the legislature starts coming to town. We've got the holidays coming up and things of that nature, and it's more and more difficult to put together time certains that people can get to. I have some very constraining commitments within certain periods of that time, as far as other obligations. But as a matter of fact, about the only time, the first that I could get together would be either around the 20th of this month, very briefly, or sometime after December 3rd. Is about the only periods that I could make it without a great deal of problems. And I suspect the 20th of this month would be too early to have a great deal of substance to work with.
Thought that I have is that John Tillinghast is out of the country for the next 3 weeks, and so in terms of drawing up anything with his input on the Kidder Peabody approach, you can't even start until the 27th or 8th. I guess if there were a way to deal with the actuarial firm between now and, say, a month from now, I would be tremendously pleased. I'd be happy to put some time into thinking of exact questions and so on, and if we, you know, I could do that this afternoon.
Why couldn't she give you some money for the actuarial people?
Why don't, if you can shake out these actuarial questions, need resolution, the commissioner suggested a means of acquiring that information from some source that I gathered gave you a little concern because they may involve...
Well, the Kidder Peabody, the contract that they have is to do their job. I don't know if it would cover adding this to it to begin with. And
I thought you were talking about the Mercer contract.
Oh, the Mercer contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could probably add some money to those contracts. Their contractual authority wouldn't cover this job right now. But Well, or maybe just add the contractual.
4th of December.
4th of December?
4th or 5th of December, is that right with you guys?
That sounds pretty good to me, yeah.
Is that, if you get later on, I
what day of the week is that, Bill?
Anchorage or June?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday?
You can do it in Anchorage if I make it easier for you. I'll be doing that. I've got to ask
How about the 3rd, Monday? Is that
Monday's fine. I thought you said...
Why don't we shoot for the 3rd and end the 4th?
All right.
Because I think we're going to have a very intense
days to work.
A couple of days to work on this thing. The 3rd and the 4th. Deborah?
Yeah,
good. Jim, your people have any problem with that?
Bob, okay with you?
No, sir, I think we can make that.
Bob?
Oh, yeah, fine.
All right, I entertain a motion for next day.
Anchorage
is real fine.
Anchorage is all right.
All right. I'll come on. Third and fourth in Anchorage, then, will be the next meeting, without objection.
The election's over now, I can go to Anchorage.
Welcome anytime, but I think
if, when John, well, let's see now, you're... Again, I'm a little bit hung up on this actuarial thing because I'm not really sure all of what we're seeking, and yet I want to make certain that we've taken what actions are necessary to shake out the information we need.
Would it be possible for you to, for example, delegate to Commissioner Rudd the authority to approve funding up to some point if we put together a package?
Well, I'm thinking of something like that, and it might be appropriate to entertain a motion to permit an expenditure of up to no more than for such purpose. What do you think, Bill or Al?
I would assume that you people get to, you know actuarial people, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you do it instead of get mixed up in something else?
Well,
why don't I do the actuarial work?
No, I mean, if you want to do it, that's fine with me. Do you know a firm that you could work with is what I'm talking about?
Yes, we do.
I mean, irrespective of without prejudice toward Lisa, but Lisa's worked with these other people, but you people never have. You don't know who they are.
Yeah, I met with some firms in Seattle, and
why don't you guys work it out among yourselves?
Fine.
If we can.
What is the amount of money?
What are you talking about, money?
Name and money.
Yeah, how much money?
$10,000.
How much?
I move that the committee allocate $10,000. Do we or do we not? Yes. Allocate $10,000 for the purposes of contracting for actuarial assistance.
From what area?
300.
Do we have it in contractual?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Yeah. All right, it's been moved that up to no more than $10,000 be allocated for what? Are you moving it from travel to contractual again, or what?
We have adequate funds in contractual.
All right. Okay.
With the amendment, if there's a shortfall, the House Finance Committee will pick it up.
is there a second to the motion? Any objection? Any discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
$10,000.
Well, yeah, I thought he said adjourn. That's what the question was.
I would ask, however, Deborah or whomever is going to pursue this, that you do, in consultation with the commissioner, determine what areas of actuarial information might be appropriate to be shaken out from this group that she mentioned versus whom we might have to contract
with
outside of that. Okay, well then the 3rd or 4th of next month, and I would hope the conclusion of those meetings that we had, I could see where it's going to be necessary to have more than one proposal. I had hoped at one time we might have one proposal. I don't think we're going to. But I think we have to shape up the best conceivable annuity under this approach, the best one under the Kidder Peabody approach, and maybe...
And the consideration now...
Absolutely. And maybe we'll have a committee... preponderance in support of one or another. Frankly, I love the Kidder Peabody proposal. If it will fly and do the things that they say, I think it would clearly resolve a lot of Al's problems and make the state money and do all sorts of wonderful things. And
we got the option.
Good to be true, but
we got the option of underwriting New York too, and really
yeah.
diversifying our economy.
But I guess one of the things that gives me concern about public hearings, Al, I wouldn't want to have to be the guy that has to go out there and explain it. Other than what the impact is, that's what the people really care about. How does it affect them personally, and how you reach that point and how you fund it is less of a concern to most of them. Marcia, you had a comment.
Yes, I would like to get the Department of Health and Social Services on the schedule this afternoon to describe the actions that Secretary Heckler and they are having to take relative to SSI effective today.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I would like to have Rod Beatty describe to the committee the actions that Secretary Heckler took.
Yes, all right.
Today.
Okay. See you later.
Bob?
I had some questions these people before they get out of here. I read this draft copy last evening, and I gathered that the only way to retrieve the money from the annuity account is by annuity payment. Is that right?
I don't guess I quite follow. I don't quite follow the question.
Well, now, I like to put my permanent fund dividend into the annuity account. The only way I can get any benefit from that is to live long enough to get in.
Yes.
In other words, it's once it's in, it's frozen.
Oh, you can take it out if you leave the state.
No,
no, no,
no.
Come back at age 65 and ask and sign up for the.
I see.
For the no the way the draft is written now, there are.
That's four.
Oh yeah.
Maybe we should write it, something in there on the survivor. At
well, that was one of the problems.
Huh? You don't want that? If you die?
No, because if you go to an insurance company and buy a straight life annuity, the only way you beat it is, like me, you don't have the good sense to die.
I got you.
I mean, then you, but if you die early, they come out ahead.
Well, you can get annuities that will pay
a
joint and survivor benefit.
A certain time, yes. Or 10 years guaranteed or 15 years guaranteed.
Well, you can
but
even
at the
get
end of that time, they're through with you.
No, you can even get them to go for the life of you and your spouse.
That,
a joint and survivor.
Well, yes,
yeah.
But we don't need to include the spouse because my spouse is protected.
Well, that's the policy question.
The
yeah.
Program.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I want to make sure. Once, because I'm going to get these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Once the money is paid, the only way you get any benefits.
Let's put some all
here. Is to take it after 65.
And take that then,
if you die before 65,
state.
The money stays.
The remaining annuity
state,
expense.
State takes it.
Right.
If we can get back to the agenda here, Jim Rode is no longer here, is he? Is he meeting with, Jim is with the commissioner and the other folks. All right, well, then, Marcia, you had recommended that who make the presentation?
Rod Beatty
and
John Tabor. Rod Beatty is the Director of Medical Assistance, and John Tabor is the Director of Public Assistance.
It's my understanding that Commissioner Rudd is meeting with the permanent fund people?
Yeah.
What the hell?
He told her to go.
I didn't tell her to do it.
That's fine. She'll have a full report. Go ahead, Governor.
Governor, members of the committee, this in front of you is three documents. One is a summary of what the impact is on the public assistance clients in Alaska of the Secretary Heckler decision. There's a letter. The second item is a letter from Governor Sheffield that requested Secretary Heckler to look at the problem and to rule in favor of the state. And the third item is a letter that just was received yesterday from Secretary Heckler that, in essence, rules against the state and requires the elderly in Alaska who are eligible for the bonus to apply for it. The downside of that decision is that in they're applying for the bonus because Congress specifically stated that anybody with less than 25 years residence in the state has to have that bonus counted against their public assistance. Approximately 750 of the elderly in Alaska on public assistance will lose at least cash benefits from the department, and another 314 will lose Medicaid coverage in addition to the cash benefits. Quickly, this just explains the levels of loss. The first level is the state and federal cash benefits that they will no longer receive, those 750 individuals. And that approximates $2.1 million annually, an average of $240 per individual monthly. And $1.4 million of that is federal benefits that they will no longer receive in cash assistance monthly. And $760,000 is state benefits that they will lose on a month for an entire year. The second category has the Medicaid benefits that will be lost to these individuals. And there's two groups within that. That's the 314 of the 750 who will lose eligibility altogether for old age assistance and Medicaid because the bonus will put them over the qualifying limit. And on the average, we spend $2,500 a year covering the medical needs of every one of those elderly in a non-nursing home environment. and that will approximate $785,000 in lost benefits for a year. Half of that is federal money, and half of that is state money. The final group is 36 people approximately in nursing homes who will also lose Medicaid coverage because a bonus will cause them to become ineligible. That's the most expensive piece of this package on a per-person basis. We spend about $50,000 a year for each nursing home placement. These people will become ineligible for the continued coverage under Medicaid for nursing home expenses, and that represents about $1.8 million, of which the predominant piece is state funding, $1,080,000. The total lost benefits as a result of that decision is close to $5 million. At the moment, Governor Sheffield has advised the department to continue providing the medical benefits and to not reduce the state old age assistance grant to any of these individuals. We're able to do that under the same letter from Secretary Heckler, where actually it's from Under Secretary Baker, that says that we have an application to them that said we wanted to construct a hold harmless for this population. They have said that they are continuing to look at that because of the complexities involved in it. And since it's potentially approvable, and they use that language very carefully, they're allowing the state to buy some time until the legislature convenes and deals with the issue before they declare whether they're going to approve the plan amendment or not. And the timing of that essentially can be carried out until about 1 July, I think, under the letter that the department received, before the other shoe would fall and they would say that we can't continue to operate this hold harmless using part federal money, which would then drive the cost of this package up to the full $4.7 million a year rather than just the state piece of $2.2 million. That's where we're at the present time, Governor.
I don't know if you heard the Carpenter Lowe presentation where they had suggested that by using a loan concept, they might obviate those concerns. I don't know how firm that is, their conviction in that regard. I guess, Deborah, are you still here? No. Legal counsel, tax counselor, not with us any longer, but had that concept been considered by you folk? Or
it is one of the options that were looked at several years ago when we were considering things to do about the bonus program. I didn't hear the entire presentation, in all fairness, Governor, but I can tell you that we tried to finesse a far more straightforward proposal past federal officials, and that has not been approved. I think it would be highly questionable that this particular package would be approved from the public assistance perspective. In order for it to be a legitimate loan, there has to be a substantial showing that there was money passed between the two parties and that there is a flow of money back from the person who was loaned the money that would pay that off before that person passes away. And I don't know if that was evidence or not in this particular presentation.
Their proposal would not pay back until after they have.
No, this has to, that's, I didn't hear that part of it, but this has to be demonstrated to be repaid within the lifetime of the individual.
Al?
So I think there's a significant burden on the state's part to be able to prove that, and I don't know, because I haven't seen the details of it, that could be done. But I doubt it.
This action that was triggered by Secretary Higler, is it triggered by a post-election, or is it triggered by perhaps the longevity proposals that we have done in the past legislature until this present time?
Well, I would have to speculate that there was a lot of partisan politics involved in this, since it was delivered on the 7th of November rather than the 5th of November.
The concerns that you express, however, they prevail no matter what program is undertaken, correct? I mean, or does
there
one
are,
program aggravate them more than another?
That's true. There are some variations that would aggravate it worse. But there are essentially only two known paths out of this at the present time. One is to accept the fact that Congress and the Reagan administration are not going to allow us to finesse this in as part of the federal expense any longer, and then build a hold harmless program that picks up the lost federal money and also picks up the lost federal money if they won't approve our state plan, the full $5 million and at best the $2.2 million in state money that we're spending right now. We have a proposal in front of them to do that and currently have not come to agreement on whether or not they'll buy it. But that is, in fact, the first route out of this particular problem.
Is this a spin-off?
Marcia, at our last meeting, you and I think Rick Halford, Senator Halford,
both touched on something that you thought, as I recall, might obviate or reduce substantially as I recall, there's some talk about adding an additional $250 a month to persons in certain categories.
That was Mr. Tillinghast's proposal.
What about that?
Adding $250 per month to their grant?
Old age assistance.
There is a federal provision that permits us to increase our need standard and our payment level, $250 per month for those individuals. It's a more expensive way out than what you have in front of you. It's another variation on the theme. The problem is you can't just do it for the individuals who are harmed by the Heckler decision. You have to do it for everybody, which means you have to also give it to the people who are getting the $250 bonus and are exempt. So they have a windfall. By curing the problem for the one group, you benefit the other group by a like amount, and you don't make the problem go away. You just aggravate it.
Is this a spin-off from the mandate?
Mandate?
Yeah, the presidential mandate. Mandate?
Yes.
I guess it's a spinoff.
Do you have any recommendations on how we could either modify or...
There's really only, again, Governor, two ways to go at it. One is to find a hold harmless that they will agree to and replace the lost federal and state benefits. And we're currently negotiating with Health and Human Services to do that during this window period. The other one is to relate it to income. If the bonus were related to income, then it's totally exempt for all persons who get it. Short of those two approaches, there really is no known path out of this particular problem.
Okay, any further questions or comments?
So I understand what I'm looking at. The additional cost to the state would be this bottom figure, 2.512.
That's correct. That's correct. The $2.2 million is already in the department's budget.
That's why I said
that's
I
correct.
Did the subtraction, and that's what I did.
That's correct.
Any other comments or questions? None, thank you.
Of course, if you want to get really strictly mercenary and you consider that the 750, or some of these people are getting more benefits than others as it is now, and if you want to make the benefits equal, and if they're getting more benefits, then they expect to pay more or more taken away from them. If you want to be exactly mercenary, is what I'm talking about.
I think that any recommendation that we may make to the legislature should have these figures accompanying it. I see no need for us to recommend one way or another. But I think that whatever we do recommend, we should call attention to the impact.
Of course, we'll have to point that out.
Yeah.
I'm sure many legislators are already aware and will, of course, subsequent to the Heckler decision, will be doubly aware. I appreciate what you're saying.
I don't know what I'm talking about when I get out of
here. When a legislature convenes, the venue changes for this for the problem as it relates to medical. If we continue to hold people harmless for the medical benefits and are not successful with Heckler, then we'll have to have a supplemental. There's no change in legislation required. What happens is you move the people over to another medical program, but it's all general funded. So those kinds of issues will end up in finance.
Well, of course, you people are well known, or these people are in Health and Social Services well known for arbitrarily giving increases in some of the programs that they think are needed, irrespective of what the legislature says, and then they come in for a supplemental anyway.
Senator, we're being sued for not doing that.
For not doing it?
For not doing that.
I think you're departing from the mandates of the committee. We did have a presentation by Jim Rode. I'm not sure exactly. I was more concerned with Jim Rode hearing the presentation by Kidder Peabody than making a presentation with Quinn. I'm not sure what he had in mind there, or you had in mind, Bill.
I'd much rather have Dave Rose come over here. He's the guy that
why, sure.
The damn thing. Hey, Jim Rode is a peon down there.
Incidentally, insofar as this December 3rd, 4th meeting is concerned, I certainly would like to have a joint meeting, perhaps during one of those days, of this committee and that committee. Would that be appropriate here?
Well, I imagine that if we put a special request out, do you think they'd show up?
Why don't we?
You think that Dave Rose would show up if we made a special request?
we're having a hearing in Anchorage. What? How about that?
Hey,
what about using one of those days to have a joint
hearing?
A joint hearing with him. What do you think, Senator?
I think that is almost mandatory that we do.
Would it be appropriate before this committee met again, or if we have a meeting on the 3rd?
Why don't we hear them, have them come in on the 3rd, and then we'll know better on the 4th.
Anybody object to that? Let's make a request today, meet with us the 3rd, what members that can be made available, particularly Dave Rhodes. Okay? Could you extend that then, Bill? What else we got? Yeah. Well, I have discussed some of these things with Jim Rhodes and made sure that the trustees for the permanent fund were acquainted with the Kidder Peabody proposal, but they haven't been brought up to speed, of course, on some of the things that have evolved, the proposed legislation, the latest presentation, but hopefully they will be now. So, okay, I don't have anything else on the agenda.
Will we adjourn?
Anybody have any new business? Or?
Without prejudice, I will be adjourned.
I guess so. There are no objections. So, I'll see you on the 3rd.